Good morning, folks. John here. Hope you're all well. So if you want a title for this little sermon, how about digging? In 2 Kings, God's people are in trouble and they're looking for direction. So reading from 2 Kings 3:15 through 19. As the musician played his harp, the power of the Lord came on Elisha. And he said, "This is what the Lord says. Dig ditches all over this dry stream bed. Even though you will not see any rain or wind, this stream bed will be filled with water, and you, your livestock, and your pack animals will have plenty to drink." And Elisha continued, But this is an easy thing for the Lord to do. He will also give you victory over the Moabites. You will conquer all their beautiful fortified cities. You will cut down all their fruit trees, stop all their springs, and ruin all their fertile fields by covering them with stones." So there's two things in that story that stand out to me. Digging and stones. Recently, I've been digging our garden. That sounds nice and simple, and it sounds like an everyday sort of task. But the truth is, what I've been doing is not well conveyed by that phrase, digging the garden. I've been removing the rockery and making two terraces, two flat areas in our garden. And the garden is on quite a slope. One flat area is going to be for a polytunnel and the other is going to be a vegetable bed. But it's been digging on a very large scale. Truth is, I should probably have hired a wee mini digger or something to do it, but I haven't. It's just me, a pick and a spade. I've been at it for months now, and I'm now most of the way through the hardest bit. I should probably explain that I'm not a great gardener. Enthusiastic, but not very knowledgeable. Myra knows far better what needs to be done. But when it comes to the grunt work, I can do that. One of my biggest problems when it comes to gardening is I find it very hard to remember plant names. I can often remember the first syllable of a name, but get confused with the rest of it. So I can be mixed up between philodendron and philadelphus. But I'm happy enough just to call it Phil. Okay, so why am I telling you all this? Because, as is often the case, God speaks or reinforces things to me through what I'm busy with. And there's a few thoughts that God's been pouring into me during this time of digging. My weeks of digging has given me some time to concentrate and meditate on what God is saying. And there's a few thoughts, probably three. The first thought is probably a bit corny, but it has been quite profound to me. That's when digging, I've often come across roots and stones or rocks, well, actually boulders. And in nearly every case, I've found the correct approach, the correct solution to getting rid of these obstacles is to dig deeper. When I first realised that, I could almost hear God saying it to me as a general rule of life. In our relationship with God, we need to dig deeper. We need to get to know Him better and better, to know His mind, and even more importantly, to know His heart. That deeper relationship comes at some cost. Some effort is required. Some time is required. Some dedication is required. But it's the way to clear obstacles which can seem insurmountable when we first find them. A big boulder looks as if it will be impossible to move, but you can dig under it and begin to move it. The relationship requires that we dig deeper into God's word, into spending time with him, talking and listening to him, into just being with him. The tools of this digging are not pick and spade, but it's our prayer life, our imagination, our reading, our worship, our meditation. It includes whatever way God speaks to us. Maybe how he's spoken to us in the past, and maybe there are new ways for us to allow God to speak to us. Right, the second thing that God's been saying is a bit harder to explain, and it might not make that much sense, but stick with me. It's all to do with the infinity of God. That's been one of my favourite topics for years. Maybe it's because I've got a science background, but the whole area of infinity has often floated my boat. So in this digging, I've been turning over a lot of ground, and part of that process has been to sort what I've uncovered into a few general classifications. There's soil, subsoil, roots, and various size of rocks. Of course, most of this is all mixed up together, and so the process is tricky, messy, and at times back-breaking. The roots need to be piled up and will then be burned. The soil needs to be turned over, the subsoil needs to be broken up and mixed with the soil, and then we come to the rocks. The rocks are the real trick. They need to be sorted by size. The rule of thumb I've used is pea-sized, golf ball-sized, football-sized, and boulder. I've used these in various ways to build retaining walls, the terraces and stuff. Basically big piles of rocks and sort of amateur-built dikes, if you want to think of it that way. But in all this building of walls or piles, what has struck me is I can make rough classifications. I can hope that the bucket load of rocks of specific size will fall roughly the right way. And of course, all this is dependent on me making quick decisions as to which size that particular stone is and chucking it in the right bucket, then taking it to the appropriate site and positioning or dumping it in the right way. If I spent more time and effort on it, I could make a better wall. Indeed, with infinite care and patience, I could find exactly the right rock to fit in exactly the right position to ensure that that wall was perfect. But without infinite time and patience, I make rough guesses, and I've often found myself muttering an old phrase which some of my American defence colleagues used to say quite often. That phrase is, close enough for government work. But the wonderful truth about our Almighty God is that he does have infinite time and patience. And in all his putting together of the universe, he gets every rock in the right place. Indeed, every molecule, every subatomic particle. This is a mind-blowing level of detail. I've struggled with a few hundred thousand, maybe even millions of rocks, but our limitless God knows how to fit everything together. Of course, this idea references the passage in 1 Peter when it talks about the living stones in the church, how we can all be fitted together perfectly, how God fits together different people in a special way. But it's far wider than just that living stones idea. As human beings, we find the concept of infinity way too hard to take in. But it's a fundamental truth. and it certainly does me good to think about it. Because of God's infinity, he is in no way limited. So he is well able to spend his endless time on you. He wants to bless you and bring you to know him better and better. Also, God's keen to pour out his goodness, goodness without end, to bless you with his knowledge, his intimacy, his direction, his friendship, his grace. Yes, his grace. That is, his everlasting goodness is available to you. You don't deserve it. None of us do. But it's God's gift to us. And the ultimate example of his goodness is that he sent Jesus, his own son, to live and die for us, to take the blame, the punishment for all the bad things we've ever thought, we've ever done. That gives us a way to be saved from this world, to be given eternal life. God's infinity is part of his character. And it's the key to every part of our lives. There's one more thought about this digging. It's in preparation. The story we started with, where Elisha tells them to dig ditches, that was to prepare for victory. And there are two parts to it. The people had to do what God told them and dig ditches. And then God sent the water. So it may be that God is asking you to make some preparations, even if they don't seem logical, and then wait for God to bring down his blessing. What could that preparation be for you? Has part of this lockdown allowed you to spend time preparing yourself for something? This idea of us doing the digging and then waiting on God to deliver the blessing is one to spend some time meditating on. Quite often God works with us cooperatively. He wants us to be willing to take a tiny step, and then he takes a big one. Ask God what steps he wants you to take, then obey him. And then let him complete the change. The sort of cooperation God wants from us is the sort of cooperation that a loving father shows when he's teaching his wee child to ride a bike. That's the sort of image to think on when you consider God's working with you. So, that's the thoughts that I thought I'd share with you. But it might just be I'm going a bit loopy from too much time spent with spade in hand. I hope to see you all soon. Stay safe, and may our Almighty God bless you all. Thank you.